Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I am your host, Sarah, and today we will be talking about the texts assigned for this week, the week of August 20th, 2017, and that is the 11th Sunday after Pentecost. So I hope you are having a great August, that it's not too hot where you are. I know where I am, we're in, you know, some of those hotter times of summer, and I grew up in Montana, so August to me is always fire season, and so I always think of heat and wildfires, forest fires, and smoke, and just it's a scary time. So if you are located in one of those spots that is affected by either fires or the smoke of fires, you are in my thoughts and my prayers, and I hope that you are out of the path of danger. But we definitely pray for those people whose homes are threatened by wildfires. So that's just what August always makes me think of when it gets hot and I start to think about fire season. So as I said, we are talking about the text assigned for the 11th Sunday after Pentecost. I'm going to read those now without further ado. The Old Testament text comes to us this week from Isaiah chapter 56, verse 1, and then verses 6 through 8. And those verses are as follows. Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right. For soon my salvation will come, and my deliverance will be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it, and hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. So that was our first Old Testament text assigned for this week. That came from the 56th chapter of Isaiah, verse 1 and verses 6 through 8. As we have been doing, we have an alternate first reading as well. That comes to us this week from the book of Genesis, chapter 45, verses 1 through 15. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me here before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. God has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father, and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly I am honored in Egypt, and all that you have seen. hurry and bring my father down here. Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, while Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. And we have been working our way through some of these Genesis stories during the season of Pentecost. And this is the culmination of that story of Joseph and his coat of many colors. And I was just reading Anne Lamott this week, and she was talking about how she tries to talk to her Sunday school children about mercy and justice and those sorts of things, but they prefer stories like the Joseph story because there's lots of blood and plotting and those sorts of things. It is a story that has a certain appeal. There's lots of action, there's lots of intrigue, there's lots of adventure, but it's amazing that Joseph shows such kindness and forgiveness to his brothers. When they first show up, he's not really inclined toward kindness and forgiveness because, you know, they did sell him, they did some horrible things to him. But then he realizes that their actions actually brought him to where he is, that God was able to work with Joseph in the place that he was, and he was able to make a difference. And so he was also able then to forgive his brothers. And it's a really amazing story when you look at it, that God really does use us wherever we are, regardless of what brought us there, regardless of, you know, bad choices, whether by ourselves or by others. God works with us wherever we are and can make a difference. We can make a difference because of the gifts that we have been given and the love that God has given us when we share that with others. So it's a pretty amazing story, and it has a good ending. You know, things work out. So I've always been a fan of the Joseph story, not for so much for the blood and the drama, but but it's just a really it's kind of a beautiful story of family and, you know, the dysfunctions of family, but that even dysfunctional families can come together in the end, and that even the despised brother or the brother that gets sold into slavery can make the difference. And it's a very interesting story. If you've never read the whole thing, you should just go to the book of Genesis and read through the whole thing. It's pretty amazing. So the psalm for this week, I'll move right along. The psalm for this week comes to us from Psalm 67, and it is verses 1 through 7. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known upon the earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase, God. Our God has blessed us. May God continue to bless us. Let all the ends of the earth revere him. And this probably sounds pretty familiar to you. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. If you come from a tradition that uses that as a blessing, it's going to sound pretty familiar to you. But the whole thing, really, all seven verses kind of are that benediction that, you know, we are going forth. May God be gracious to us. May God bless us. May we have God's face to shine upon us and be with us wherever we go, that our way may be known upon the earth, that God's saving power may be known among all the nations. And then it gives these reasons why, you know, let the peoples praise you. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. And why should they do this? Well, it's because God judges people with equity. God guides the nations and the people on the earth. Again, kind of what I was saying with the Genesis story. God works with us. God can use our gifts wherever we are to guide us and help us to make a difference. And so then the psalm continues, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all peoples praise you. And why? Well, because the earth has yielded its increase, God, and our God has blessed us. And then it ends with this plea, may God continue to bless us. And then because of this, you know, if God continues to bless us, then hopefully all of the ends of the earth will revere God. So it's this never-ending cycle of blessings from God and the people then in response praising God, God giving blessings and guiding us on our way, and we in return Praise God. Praise God, who then uses our gifts and our abilities in the earth or in the world to make a difference and bring that love and that joy and God's spirit and God's message to people. And so then it just becomes this whole process of praise and blessing and continued cycling. So we are going to take our first break of the podcast, and when we come back, we'll be moving on to the New Testament text assigned for this week, August 20th, the 11th Sunday after Pentecost. So stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Always on the go, but the day just won't be one without your Hollywood fix. Let Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast take care of that. Jordan and Keith is Entertainment Tonight meets Access Hollywood.
I'm Jordan.
The guy laughing, that's Keith.
Yeah, I'm Keith.
An all-inclusive look of pop culture.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I am still your host, Sarah, and we are talking this week about the text assigned for the 11th Sunday after Pentecost. We already did the first, the Old Testament text, the first reading, the Isaiah reading, the alternate first reading from Genesis, and then Psalm 67, verses 1 through 7, which brings us to the two New Testament texts assigned for this week. The first one comes to us from the letter of Romans, and we've been reading through that over the past several weeks. This is Romans chapter 11, verses 1 through 2a, and then 29 through 32, and those verses are as follows. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now been disobedient in order that, by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience, so that he may be merciful to all. And that is, again, Romans chapter 11, verses 1 through 2a and 29 through 32. And out of context, it's a little bit difficult to maybe read through this. It's one of those texts that might make people feel a little bit uncomfortable for, you know, just as it's talking about disobedient and then mercy, that we're trapped in disobedience so that we may receive mercy. And I don't know if we're, if God has imprisoned all of us in disobedience as sort of, you know, this act of, here, I'm going to make you disobedient so that you will do things that are bad and then you will need to receive mercy so that you will appreciate that mercy more. It's more of God gave us free will, right? And so we are allowed to make our own choices. We are not automatons who follow God blindly, and because we have to, we have been given free will, which means that we choose to follow God, we choose to make those decisions, but we also then have the ability to make bad decisions, make poor choices. And because of that, we tend to be disobedient, right? But that disobedience doesn't have to be the end. That's not the end of the story, because God's love for us is so huge that we have been given grace, we have been given mercy. And because of our disobedience, we experience the mercy, right? It's not the same thing if you experience love and mercy when you don't understand that you've done anything that you deserve mercy, right? Or, you know, it's this thing where you have to be able to understand, I don't deserve this mercy. I did something so truly horrible. I do not deserve to be forgiven. And yet God forgives us. God gives us this mercy. And then we can understand just how great this gift is that we have been given. Not that God is saying, I'm going to make you all make bad decisions, but more of God gave us that free will. And unfortunately, we as humans tend to make some poor choices, right? We don't always think things through. We do things for selfish reasons. We make poor choices. So, but because we are disobedient, then we experience that mercy, that love, that grace in a more deep and more profound way. So that was Romans chapter 11, and our New Testament, our gospel reading, I'll get it out one of these days. Our gospel reading comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 15, and it's verses 21 through 28, but 10 through 20 are alternate texts. Those can be included as well. So I'll be reading 15, 10 through 28, and those verses are as follows. Then Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" And he answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." And then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as your wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. So again, that is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 10 through 28. And it is kind of two different sections. You can see why that 10 through 20 was an alternate or an optional inclusion. But I love that those first verses, because Jesus is saying, you know, they had a lot of purity rules. They had a lot of rules about what you could and could not eat. And Jesus is saying, that's fine if you are, you know, Jesus isn't saying he's going to do away with the purity rules, but he's saying you need to pay attention to what is important here. What you eat isn't what defiles you. And he has this whole thing about, you know, you eat it and then it goes in your stomach and then it goes out into the sewer, which is a very polite way of saying, you know what he's saying. Then it goes through your digestive tract and then it comes out and you don't have to worry about it anymore. He says, so what goes into your mouth isn't what defiles you. It's what comes out of your mouth. And he's so right, because what comes out of our mouths are words. And our words and our actions are what defile us. Our words and our actions can either show that we are giving the love of Jesus and the love that God has given us to our neighbors, or it can show that we are just saying things that are hurtful, that are neglectful, that are evil in some ways. That's the thing. Those are the things that defile us. Those are the things that show our true character, what comes out of our mouths, not what we put into our mouths, not what we eat that may be seen by another person as clean or unclean. And he's very true. But then in the very next section, Jesus meets this woman who is a Canaanite and who's asking for healing for her daughter, who has, a demon, and that can be almost anything. You know, people who had seizures were said to have a demon, but she's sick. She's got something that clearly can't be healed or cured any other way, and so she's doing what so many people in the Gospels do, and she is asking Jesus for help, and he says, "I wasn't sent here for you. I was sent here for the lost sheep of Israel," which is not like Jesus at all, right? Because Jesus tells stories and does has actions that show all the time that he is engaging in people that aren't appropriate according to other people. And so he says, "I'm not here for you," but she keeps on. She keeps at it. She is the picture of persistence. And he says, you know, is it fair that we take the food for the children and we just give it to our dogs? And the woman says, well, but even those dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall from the table. And, you know, if they're anything like my dogs, they eat more than the crumbs because they just, they beg a lot. But, which is true. You know, you drop something, the dog picks it up. And she's saying, maybe I'm not a child of Israel. Maybe I'm not the group that you say you've been sent to, but something, give me something. And Jesus then at that point says, your faith has made you well. And her daughter was healed instantly. So we are going to take our second break of the podcast, but when we come back, we'll be talking a little bit more about this text from the Gospel of Matthew. So stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We are talking about the texts assigned for the 11th Sunday after Pentecost, the week of August 20th, 2017. And we just read the story of the Canaanite woman who asks Jesus for help. And the Canaanite woman in this story really is the embodiment of persistence, as I said before the break. She definitely is the picture of persistence. And if you put this into context, if you remember 2 weeks ago, the gospel text was the feeding of the 5,000. Remember, that was 5,000 men plus women and children. So it was this really incredible story. The disciples wanted to send the crowds away, but Jesus had a different idea. So he, if you remember, he had the disciples pull out all of the food that they had, which turned out to be 5 loaves and 2 fish. And then Jesus proceeds to feed the entire crowd. And then last week, and I didn't have a podcast last week, now I just realized, but if you were in church and you have a lectionary-based text study, then you heard the story of Jesus sending the disciples away and continuing to speak with the crowds before then rejoining the disciples. So this week, Jesus is back with his disciples, and they are approached by this Canaanite woman who asks Jesus to heal her daughter. And notice that, again, the disciples ask Jesus to send someone away. You know, she keeps shouting at us, Jesus, send her away. She keeps following us and shouting at us, can you do something about this? They still haven't learned, apparently, anything about Jesus's compassion. Although, as I said before the break, it seems as though Jesus is not going to be compassionate in this case. But the woman is shouting at them, she's bothering them, and they ask Jesus to send her away. And once again, Jesus doesn't heed the disciples' request. You know, he doesn't respond in the way that we expect him to respond, but he also doesn't heed the disciples' request. He doesn't send the woman away. He actually talks to her. He lets her come forward and give her request. And his response, as I've said, does always trouble me when I first read it. You know, he reminds the woman that she is a Canaanite and how he's come to minister to the Israelites. And then he does that lovely comparison of comparing her to a dog and the Israelites being the children of the household. But here, of course, is where we see this woman's persistence, because she's not backing down. She's not disrespectful, but she does hold her ground and she does continue to engage Jesus in dialogue. Now, first, she is an unaccompanied woman who is talking to a group of men. So she is going against social norms to even have this conversation. Second, she's a Canaanite, as we have said, which means that she would have been seen as impure, unclean in the eyes of the Israelites, and that maybe helps explain a little bit more why that first 10 verses were optional about what is unclean and impure, etc. So she would have been seen as unclean to the Israelites because she would not have engaged in the very strict dietary and purity laws followed by the disciples, followed by the Israelites. So just speaking with her would render Jesus also unclean. So if you look at it from this perspective, you can kind of see maybe where the disciples are coming from. Send her away. She's going to make us unclean. We're going to have to go through all of the rituals to, become clean. But again, I don't think they've been paying attention to Jesus very much if they think he's going to send her away. So it's a pretty complicated situation. And like I said, it is easier to understand the disciples' reluctance to engage her. But less understandable is Jesus' reluctance. And it's disconcerting to see Jesus' reaction to this woman's request, because we have seen him respond so differently in other situations. We're so used to seeing Jesus have reactions similar to his responses to his disciples' request that he send the crowds away. That's what we're used to seeing Jesus do. Or the disciples' response, when he says to the disciples want him to send the children away. And they said that Jesus was too busy to be bothered by the children. But Jesus said, no, let those children come here to me. So this is how we're expecting him to respond. And he does, he does allow the woman to approach. He does talk to her. But instead, then he responds in a way that we might respond when we're faced with a person that we don't particularly want to deal with, right? And we kind of make excuses for why we can't help them. And I think this is why Jesus' reaction bothers me so much, because it's one of those instances where Jesus is acting human. He is responding as we would respond. And we don't want Jesus to respond as we would respond. We want Jesus to respond as Jesus would respond. But this isn't the end of the story, because the woman is the picture of persistence, and she persists. And in so doing, she shows the disciples and us another amazing example of God's love. When she persists in her request, Jesus' answer is that it isn't fair for the food meant for the children to be thrown to the dogs. And I am pretty sure that had Jesus given me this answer, I would have just burst into tears and stormed away in anger and frustration. But no, this woman is not having it. She still persists. She replies that even the dogs receive some of those crumbs that fall from the table. And here is where Jesus replies in a way that we're more familiar with, maybe a little more comfortable with. And Jesus commends her for her faith and tells her that because of it, her daughter has been made well. Not will be made well, has been made well. And I wish this woman had a name. So many women in the Bible don't have names, but I wish she had a name, because she's such an amazing example of faith and persistence in this story. And she is one who ends up showing us the greatness of God's love. Jesus is the person who heals her daughter. And in the end, he does react as we've come to expect from the Son of God and the Messiah. But it's really the woman's persistence that moves Jesus finally toward this act. And so often, as so often happens in stories from the Gospels, there is an astounding reversal in this story that shows us more of God's love. The disciples didn't want the woman bothering them, didn't want the woman bothering Jesus. And Jesus wasn't inclined to help her at first. And yet, God's love is for everyone, not just a select few. God's love is for even those who don't seem appropriate, or who might usually be sent away for any number of reasons. God's love is for foreigners and outsiders and women who are seen as unclean and women who persist. And in the light of this first half of the gospel reading, as I said, the first half of that gospel reading makes more sense, because Jesus is speaking about what actually defiles, what actually makes a person unclean. What he reminds his hearers of is that what we put into our bodies doesn't necessarily make us unclean. Despite what the purity laws said, and despite what he was familiar with, he's saying that's not the case. Rather, it's what comes out of us that defiles. what we say, what we do, how we act, how we treat others. These are what truly show our intentions and our hearts. So the interesting thing is that immediately after saying this, Jesus is confronted with a woman who would have upheld none of those purity laws. And when she pleads for God's mercy, that mercy is granted to her. Not because she did anything perfectly, not because she followed any of the rules. In fact, she did just the opposite. She's shown mercy because she has a great well of faith that tells her that Jesus is the one who can help her. Jesus is the one who can show her the true depths of God's love. And this gospel text actually ties in nicely with the text of Isaiah that we read earlier, where Isaiah's vision of salvation results in an international gathering of prayer. The mention of the word foreigners in that text indicates that this gathering would include a multitude and a variety of people, not just the Israelites. It will be international and it will include people from all over the world. And this would have been a radical vision for a people who saw themselves in a very specific way as God's only chosen people. And yet here the prophet is showing them a new vision, one where all people come together under God's love and mercy. Isaiah's vision is one that will take place in the future, but Jesus' encounter with the Canaanite woman shows the depths, or shows the disciples, shows the disciples a tangible and concrete way in which God's love and mercy will come and can come to non-Israelites. So what do we hear, what of us then who are hearing this story today? The surprising reversal of the gospel story is meant to get us to sit up and pay attention. And I think that we would do well to remember that the very people who make us want to send them away are often also the very people for whom God's mercy is greatest. And at the same time, we are also in need of God's love and God's mercy as well. We can also remember that at those times in our lives when things seem darkest or bleakest, our wisest course is to follow the example of the Canaanite woman and to seek out the mercy of the one who came to show us God's love in new and amazing way. The Canaanite woman, of course, was an outsider, and yet she experiences God's love and mercy in this story in a deep and profound way. And if you think about communion, if you are part of a faith that gathers for communion, whether it's weekly or biweekly or monthly, whatever it is, when you receive that bread and that wine, always take a moment to remember the grace, love, and mercy that they represent for you. Take a moment to think about all of those throughout the world who are united with us in that grace and that love and that mercy. They might not always look like you. They probably don't think like you, and yet they are united with you in that moment, in that receiving, the giving and the receiving of the bread and the wine. The bread and the wine are those tangible examples of God's love for us, and the act of receiving them unites us with everyone who receives them, whether we consider them to be outsiders, whether they consider us to be outsiders. God's love and God's mercy are always present and always surprising. And so with that, I hope that you will go into your week full of the joy and knowledge that you are in a relationship with a God who always surprises us with the depth of the love that we have been given. That's my hope for you this week. And that is all the time that we have for this week. As always, you can follow us on social media. You can download us on all kinds of places, especially iTunes, but follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, because I would love to hear from you. And, you know, tell me your thoughts, tell me your prayer requests, whatever it is that you need to tell me. And I hope that you have a good week. I hope you experience God's love in deep and profound ways. And I hope that you remember that you are, in fact, a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you so much for joining me.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.